The Senate, after 12 days, finally breaks its stalemate after the SDP abandoned the ship captained by Senator Epsilon. The end of the term and the federal election are only 2 weeks away, and President Garland is set to step down. I'm Kevin Tweaver, and this is The Weekly. Senator Joey was appointed to the Senate in the North, and nearly his entire tenure has been spent in the middle of a battle in the chamber. Joey joined with Senator Drunk in an effort to end the deadlock, and was later joined by Senator Cody Clark to allow the legislature to work yet again. Today, he sat down to discuss his time in the Senate and what comes next, along with the state of the presidential race between Sandoval and Trash. With that, Senator Joey. Senator Joey, welcome to The Weekly.
My pleasure to be here.
I'm glad you can make it in. So we're in here about 10 o'clock on Wednesday evening, and we just got through what amounted to a 12-day stalemate in the Senate that you were a part of and a part of breaking. Now, obviously, and I spoke with Rose last week, I kind of explained some of this, but I played a role in it. But from your eyes, can you just walk us through that whole mess? Because basically your whole term in the Senate has been dealing with this crisis. And I feel like you have a unique view of like what that is like.
So, yeah. Being in the Senate for such a short time, the Senate is very exciting, to say the least, but I joined in at this very interesting time during the... It was really an argument over PPT, but I guess Drunk didn't accept it, or something just went wrong where he just didn't accept the nomination, and all hell broke loose. It really came down to just infighting. And it's really sad to see the Senate go down like this, even for this long period of time. I'm happy that it's during the time we were doing stuff, but it was very painstakingly slow. But I'm really happy that some of the senators from the SDP, myself, Drunk, and Cody have worked with the opposition, and I think that with caucusing with them, I think we can bring an end to the fighting and just start moving again to help the American people.
All right. Yeah, I have a couple of follow-ups there. Obviously, you and Drunk kind of led the charge initially with that motion to table Epsilon's rules proposal and just move on to regular legislation and put forward a rule that all rules that were passed through the Senate had to be co-sponsored by every caucus. And Cody did not get involved with that. He got involved after, during the re-caucus motion. So I suppose what I want to ask, like, it looked like throughout this process that the SDP was tacking more toward moving toward the libertarians and away from the quote-unquote unity caucus that was the left coalition of SDP, United Left, and the Global Labor. Do you think that this change was relatively permanent? Because, of course, we saw the two United Left senators leave Epsilon out of their new socialist caucus. Was this kind of a turning point for the left coalition, or is this isolated to the Senate and the people involved?
With the recaucusing, I do think that we're moving in a great direction, because I think if we can caucus, and I know this started out just as a movement to get the Senate going again, but maybe we can turn this into something even greater, to where we can work with the opposition and pass really good legislation for the people. And
sure.
I am very surprised that they left Epsilon out, the two senators from PR. I'm very surprised that happened. It actually comes as a shock, because I'm really surprised Epsilon didn't join in on our recaucusing movement. He really wanted to double down on the facts, to really hold his ground against the libertarian senators. But in the end, that really didn't work. And me Cody and Drunk ended up coming to a consensus, and we said, okay, we need to work with the opposition to get us going again, because this is really not hurting us, but it's hurting the American people. And Congress is already slow as it is, so why should we keep allowing this infighting to make Congress even slower? Like, it really doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So we're not hurting ourselves, we're hurting the people. And it's very, not upsetting, but it's very unusual that Epsilon wouldn't join us for this. It really is. Because usually we work as a team, or we usually make decisions as a group. Mm-hmm. I do find it very weird, but as much as he is stubborn for good, this kind of did hurt him.
Okay. You mentioned there a couple times, and I just want to press on part of my gigantic question that I started this off with. You generally work within the left coalition, and again, that's SDP, UL, and GLP. This was sort of a break from that. Do you think that this is more permanent, or is this an issue of, while you are now caucusing with the Libertarians to make a majority, is the six members of the original Left Unity Caucus going to still act as a legislative block and just use the Libertarian Cooperative Caucus, I think that was what it's called, the Cooperative or Cooperation Caucus, to keep the procedures of the Senate functioning?
See, it really comes down to, because a lot of the senators, as much as we worked together in the Left Unity, is that what it's, I forgot what it's called.
It was the Unity Caucus, yeah.
The Unity Caucus. As much as we worked together, we still had our own independent ideas. So I think this caucus will, if it doesn't stay for long term, I still think it will be here for a good while.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, I'm going to be genuinely surprised. But okay. I do think we are moving in a direction of working together and just getting things done. The procedures in the Senate were broken, as Epsilon said on the Senate floor. The filibustering was just, as much as it annoyed the Unity Caucus, it did show a part of the Senate that could really be broken at times. But I think we're at a part where we're moving past it, and if I think anybody, or if we see anybody that's doubling down on the idea to fight them on it,
mm-hmm.
They really shouldn't. It's not worth it. It's not worth at the expense of the people. It really isn't.
Sure. Later in the Senate schedule, as of right now, there's another rules proposal. Would you support even though it wasn't part of the motion that ended this stalemate, would you support the original proposal that you voted in favor of to ensure that every party supports any changes to the rules in the Senate?
See, that comes as a yes and a no, because if the people elected majority, the majority should be able to get things done. If the people elect a majority, it needs to function as a majority, and the minority shouldn't be doing everything in their power to block it. It really shouldn't come to that. But I think I would support it if it means that we can move along together to pass legislation and just get things done. I really want to try and just get as many things done as possible, because I think that would, because we do have a big schedule ahead of us. We really do. I'm not sure if everybody saw the majority leader schedule. It was really long, and considering we have debate, vote, it becomes a while. So, and we have 2 weeks left in this session. So we got to work hard if we want to really get this stuff done.
Sure. That 2 week timeline is relevant for another particular date, which is the November election. Now, you were appointed, like I mentioned, basically your entire tenure in the Senate so far has been dealing with this deadlock. What are your plans moving forward? Are you looking to secure a full term, or are your eyes elsewhere in the political world?
I really, see, when I was Secretary of Education for the North. I was really I was working on a bill of education, so COVID safety in schools. So I really want to push more into the education field, and I think personally it really hits home for me because I think education is important for students across the country, and I do feel like that ensuring the best education so that we can raise a future for this country that will not only be great but be prosperous for the future.
Do you know which avenue you're looking to kind of influence education policy on? Is that legislatively through Congress, or are you looking more on the state level, or?
It really depends. It depends really what I'm, because right now I'm in a legislative position, so I might stick with going the route of legislative, but I might hop around. I might maybe see if I can go to the cabinet in the next administration, whoever wins, Trench or Sandoval. I hope that they will work to be as bipartisan as possible. I know we all have our own agendas at the end of the day, but I think we can all work together to pass some really good legislation. So for my route of education, I would see if I can maybe secure a cabinet spot in the next administration.
Do you know where in the cabinet you would be looking to go for either administration to help influence education policy?
Now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like I could do more work in Congress. I think passing better legislation for education policy, I think more policy in Congress would work better now that I'm really getting the gears turning. But yeah, no, I think I really enjoy that my time in the Senate, so I think I'm going to stick with Congress.
Okay.
That's where I'd be best in.
So you're looking for another Senate term, or are you thinking of going back down to the House?
Honestly, as much as I enjoy the Senate, the Senate was a great experience for me. I loved every second of it, and I know it was frustrating at times, but I do think it was very enjoyable. But I think I would be better suited for the House, if I'm being honest. But I'm still in that process of deciding where to run, where I can do the most work and get the most things done.
So safe to assume that there's not a whole lot of campaign infrastructure 2 weeks out from the election here.
No, it's not. No. It's not that there's no campaign infrastructure. It's that I have the option to do what I want.
All right, fair enough.
Like the Libertarians, supposedly, from what I've heard, Sandoval and Buck are probably going to win. So it really comes, as much as I want Trash, at the end of the day, I really don't care who sits in the office of the presidency. I hope that they will get as much done. But for campaign infrastructure, it's not that we're lacking. We're really doing stuff. It's just I have the option right now, so I'm going to decide what to do. I have time. So I will probably notify the public when I've made a decision, because I don't want to keep waiting. I want to try and give as much transparency as possible.
Sure. Yeah. I always try to fish out any information I can on campaign announcements here on the show, but I understand. You mentioned that you were kind of indifferent as far as the presidential race, which is kind of rare to hear these days. Obviously, the left-wing coalition primary happened, and initially it was sort of expected that former Speaker Matthew Hale was going to run away with it from the Social Democrats. Then he took off, and this consensus seemed to be Governor Dallas and Jefferson, and then she withdrew. So the third pick, former Senator Trash, is kind of where the left seemed to land. How do you feel about that process? Do you wish that there was someone else still involved so it didn't just end up being between two United Left members? Or honestly, the left primary has been very closed off to outside eyes. So I was just hoping, like, from someone who was able to see that play out, how did you feel about it, considering your kind of moderate bona fides?
Oh, God. I would have supported either Trash, no, not Trash, either Hale or Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I, personally, they align more with my views. Trash was definitely not at the top of my favorites,
mm-hmm.
but that's what Hale left and Dallas dropped out. So I know that Trash wasn't everybody's favorite to win, but we got to put our trust in him. And I think that when the time comes, I think he can really step up.
Didn't you just say that you didn't care who was in the White House?
No. I'm not saying that I didn't care who's in the White House. I think if the time came, like, because people are saying that Trash wouldn't do well. But
which people?
Either way, in the White House, if it's Sandoval that wins, I'll be fine. And if it's Trash that wins, I'll be fine.
Which of these people are saying that Trash wouldn't do well? Is this like within the primary structure, or is this just general outside thoughts?
A little bit of both, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
But I'm not going to drop names because I think it's a little rude.
That's fair. I'll try for this one. You obviously mentioned that Hale and Dallas were your first choices. Would it be fair to say that most of the sentiment that is not necessarily fully confident in Trash comes from the SDP and Global Labor?
No, I wouldn't say that because it's not right for me to assume their views. Remember, they all have their own... I'm a part of the SDP.
Mm-hmm.
Global Labor is their own thing. As much as we are unified, at the end of the day, they all have their own views. So I'm not going to... I don't think I have the right to assume who everybody's going to pick. And if they don't pick who I pick, it doesn't matter. We all... Whoever comes out on top comes out on top. And it was Trash in this case. So... I really want to see where this goes. I really want to watch the debates between Trash and Sandoval. And Trash has yet to pick a nominee. So I really want to
see who that is. For vice president.
Yeah. I really want to see who that is. So
okay.
I really want to see who... Because as much as I am indifferent now, that could switch. It really comes down. We need to get closer to the election to really find out. Because we're still in the early stages, really.
I mean, we're 2 weeks out. The primaries are done.
Since we're 2 weeks out, even though Trish still hasn't picked the nominees, so we don't know who that could be.
That's true. He did wait up way past the very last minute for the governor's race, so I suppose it can come out any day now.
Trash is not the most perfect candidate, as you guys might know. So, but I think this will be an interesting race, and whoever wins. That's the decision of the people.
All right, that seems like a good note to end on. While I have you here, any last comments for the weekly audience?
No, I don't really have anything. We're drawing closer and closer to the election, but just make sure you get out and support your candidate that you want to win. And if you're indifferent, just watch the debates and just see what happens. Make your decision then, but it's important to vote. And don't waste your vote on a write-in or somebody that you know won't win. It's important to support someone that's as close or closest to your ideals as possible. But, yeah, no, I don't really have anything major to leave off on.
All right. Senator Joey, thank you again.
My pleasure.
As everyone is surely aware, President Garland announced that he has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and plans to resign tomorrow, Thursday. I and all those at the public record wish him the very best as he undergoes surgery and hope for a speedy and full recovery. The president's resignation means that I will be ascending to the White House, and I do not believe that it's proper for me to host this show during my brief term. The Weekly may be taking a brief hiatus, or I may be able to track down a couple of guest hosts to keep bringing you the latest news with the biggest names in our politics. Until then, I bid you all a brief farewell.